I appreciate him. I think maybe you preached here one morning sometime a few years back. But I want you to pray for him. Now, don't you sit there and look at him. You help the boy. Amen. And you help Brother Winkler. It'll help you to hear better, and it'll help him to preach better. Amen. Because some of you are going to get right here one day, and you're going to would to God somebody to help you. Amen. Brother Robert, preach to us about 30 minutes. That'll run the light for you.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that singing so much, I'd been all right with some more of it. Amen. I do want to say I appreciate the opportunity, Brother Steve, and Calvary Baptist Church and all the churches around that have a part in this meeting. And I also want to thank those ladies for singing. Amen. And I still remember, I think, the first time I ever heard them. And it was February of 2012. Now, that month don't mean nothing to you, but I was up at school at West Lenore. And about a week before Bible conference, my dad passed. So I was going through a rough patch, and I come that night to Bible conference, and they were singing, and they were singing, "Even in the valley, God is good." That's when I learned how to worship, because I didn't want to worship. I didn't feel like worshiping. But it's like Brother Mike Holcomb talked about last week, that song, "Down in Your Heart." Amen. Just starts swelling up, and I thank God for it. Thank you for His goodness upon our lives. I'm going to ask you this evening, if you will, take your Bibles and go to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter number 30. Amen. Book of Genesis, chapter number 30. I thought about asking Brother Dana if he brought five messages with him and I would preach the one he was going to preach this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Genesis chapter number 30. I want to read verses 14 through 24. Genesis chapter number 30. Verse number 14. Says, "And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, 'Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes.' She said unto her, 'Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also?' And Rachel said, 'Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes.' And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to him and said, 'Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes.' And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, 'God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband.' And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, 'God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons.' And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel. God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, 'God hath taken away my reproach.' And she called his name Joseph and said, 'The Lord shall add to me another son.'" Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this evening. I ask you, Lord, that you will help us. I pray, Lord, that there will be nothing done of myself. I pray that your word will have free course amongst this service, amongst these people tonight. Lord, I ask you just to use me however you see fit to do. Lord, I yield myself to you at this time. Father, you just get glory and honor to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have you ever watched a movie or been in a conversation? Maybe you've been reading a book. I guess people still do that today. And you thought, this story just doesn't end. It just keeps going and going. I've been in some conversations with folks like that before. You know, I'm fixing to shake their hand and walk away, and then here comes something else. And I'm just standing there thinking, is this ever going to end? Sometimes we run into never-ending stories. And either things can't seem like to get any better, and they do. Or things seemingly can't get any worse, and then guess what? They get worse.
Amen.
This story before us tonight is a never-ending story.
Yeah.
If you go back and read Genesis 29, you'll see that it was a mess from the start.
Amen.
Jacob goes to Laban's house. He falls in love with Rachel, and he tells him, I'll serve you for 7 years for Rachel's hand. Well, he serves him for 7 years, and he ends up getting Leah. He serves him another 7 years, and he ends up finally getting Rachel. Leah's not loved. Rachel is loved, but Leah's the one that can have the kids, and Rachel can't. It just keeps on going. And then you get on down in here, and Rachel gets frustrated because she can't have any kids. And she brings her maidservant in, and Jacob lies with her. And Leah says, well, I can do that too. And she brings her maidservant in and lies with Jacob. It's just one thing after another, and nothing is getting any better. As in any story, though, you have to have a storyline. And in this text tonight, I see two storylines. And you're reading one of them tonight. You're paying attention to one of them tonight. And I hope and pray you're paying attention to the one that's going to help you. In the first storyline that we see in verses 14 through 16, I want you to notice there is a never-ending story because there's interaction of shallow love all over the place. There's an interaction of shallow love taking place in verses 14, 15, and 16. In any storyline, you got to have a main character. In verses 14, 15, and 16, the main character is Leah. All the interactions are tied to Leah. You go back into chapter 29. Leah's a main character. She's a vital part of that story. She's a vital part in the beginning of chapter 30. And like I said, when we get into verse 14, she's a main character. Leah's name, her name means weary. Her name means worn out. Her name means tired. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're focusing on interaction with shallow love all around you, it will slap wear you out. Interaction after interaction after interaction, it will wear you out. Some of you tonight, you're flunked, you're burned out from doing things at the church because you're focusing on the shallow love around you. You say, what do you mean? I mean, you're looking at people and saying, why don't they do anything? Why don't they step up and help me? When you ought to just be paying attention and thanking God you got something to do. There's an interaction taking place here in Leah's life. She's having an interaction with her son, Reuben, in verse number 14. Now, it says that Reuben, in studying, it says Reuben's probably about 4 to 6 years old at this time. Reuben's doing the best he can for his mama. He sees something that he thinks she'll like, and he brings it to her. He's trying to be a blessing to her. And let me say this, Reuben is in the middle of shallow love.
Yes, sir.
Everywhere he looks, at his mama, at his daddy, everybody in his family is full of shallow love. But ain't you glad it didn't stop Reuben? Even as a young boy, he still just wanted to be a blessing to his mama. He still just wanted to be a blessing to somebody. She no doubt had interactions with her son every day. And there's some interactions you and I need to not take for granted. A kind word, a kind deed, a kind action that God has recorded for us in the Scripture here. Now, I understand what mandrakes are. Mandrakes were something that were supposed to help with the fertility of his mama. And he thought, well, that'd just be a blessing. But let me remind you, like I said, Reuben's got every excuse just to not do it. He's got every reason not to do it. He's in the midst of shallow love. He can just join in the crowd and just take the easy way out. Leah's got interactions with her son. She's got interactions with her sibling, with her sister Rachel. Somebody that ought to be loving her when nobody else does. Rachel don't care about Leah. Rachel only wants out of Leah what she can get out of Leah.
Yeah.
We don't know what their interactions were prior to Jacob showing up, but we know they've been having quite a few interactions since Jacob got there. Now, y'all might be getting bored, but we're going somewhere. These interactions were increasing day by the day, and then their interactions were shallow love, shallow love, shallow love, and they're married to the same man. He can't love them like he's supposed to. Rachel shows up, and she says, hey, Leah, how about giving me something? And you almost get the picture like Leah's response is, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It ain't good enough that my husband loves you instead of me. Are you kidding me? She says, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? Now you're going to take my son's mandrakes? Soon as Leah has a good interaction with Reuben, somebody shows up with shallow love and throws a damper on it. Interactions with folks sometimes take a turn, and it isn't good anymore. Sad to say, some interactions in our churches and some interactions in our world has turned into nothing more than wheeling, dealing, stealing, and bartering. What they can get out of it, it never ends in our day. It's a never-ending story. When you walk out of here, so you're going to be facing something that somebody's only going to want you around to get out of you what they want. And then they're going to be done with you. Hey, listen to me, young people. You got some people that you think are your friends. But there's coming a day. Where are those friends going to be when you don't have the money to go? And when you don't have the car to go? Hey, you better get you some interactions with something other than shallow love. There's some people in here tonight. You probably tried to make a deal with God. You said, I'll do this, God, if you'll do that. That's shallow love. That's shallow love. You ought to do whatever he wants you to do just because he's God. Amen. There's an interaction with a spouse in verse 16. This is shallow love too.
Yeah.
Leah demands Jacob do something in verse 16. She said, thou must come in unto me. She says, I've hired you. And Jacob just goes along with it. He don't ask no questions. He's been going from wife to wife to maidservant. He's just going along with whatever's the case. Listen, if you base your life on shallow love, it won't be long. You'll just be going with whatever comes along, whatever you can get. If shallow love's all you can get, you'll be happy with it. Hey, you better get hungry. You better desire something more than the shallow love of this world and the shallow love even that your church can give you and the shallow love that your preacher can give you. You better get a desire in your heart for something deeper than that. It's never ending, the shallow love. It's never ending. Everywhere you turn, it's never ending. But I want to talk to you about another storyline here. Not so much the interaction of a shallow love, but I want you to notice there's an intervention of a sovereign love. I'm talking about when God shows up and nobody even asked him to come. Nobody even called on God. Nobody even prayed to God. Nobody even said, hey, honey, you think we ought to pray and ask God? No. God just shows up. God intervenes because he sees some people that need him, that need his love and need his help. Hey, you say, I don't believe that. Well, what do you think people mean when they say this? I didn't come looking for him, but he came looking for me. That's what they mean. That's what they mean. They mean God intervened when they didn't even really want him to intervene. God showed up and done something in their life. That's what God's going to do here. And the main character here is not Leah. The main character in verse 17 through 24 is not Leah. The main character in verse 17 through 24 is an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God.
Amen.
Leah, as the main character, didn't even do her any good. Much less anybody else. You, as the main person in your storyline, ain't doing you a bit of good.
Amen.
You need to focus on God. Amen. Just thank him for the times that he intervenes in your life. I didn't ask him to come and put me under conviction, but I sure am glad he did. There's an intervention of love here, an intervention of sovereign love. Don't you notice there's an intervention of new love? There's new life coming on the scene. And any time a sovereign God shows up, you look around, there's going to be some new life bringing forth somewhere. It takes a sovereign God to bring forth life. There's somebody new to love. These children are going to be born. And I can't help but think it's almost like Leah and Rachel and Jacob. They're getting another chance at it. They're getting another shot at it. They're getting another child. Ain't you glad for the second, third, fourth, and fifth chances that an almighty God gives you? He could just write you off and say, I'm done. You're shallow. You're shallow. You ought to love me more than you do. You ought to do more for me than you do. But ain't you glad God just shows up one more time and gives you another child, gives you another saved person in your congregation? You ain't treated the ones that are saved right, but God comes forth and brings forth new life and gives you another chance to teach somebody the Word of God, to pray for somebody, and to love them and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's an intervention of new love. Just think about the things God has broke forth and birthed in your life that would not be there if He hadn't done it. There's an intervention of new love. There's an intervention of named love. These children got names. You say, well, that's basic. Well, quit making things harder than what they're supposed to be. Quit overlooking what God's done for you. Hey, man, I've shared this with the church before. My little girl, she's here tonight. And I remember whenever she was getting old enough to say prayer. And we asked her to ask the blessing one night at the house. And she said, Lord, I want to thank you for my chair. I want to thank you for my plate. I want to thank you for my cup. I want to thank you for my fork. I want to thank you for the table. And it was almost funny. And then the Holy Ghost pricked my heart. I ain't ever thanked Him for the table. I ain't ever thanked Him for the chair. I ain't ever thanked Him for the fork and the spoon and the plate. I've just been thankful for what's on the plate. See, this thing's a whole lot more basic than what we think. We're missing an awful lot. You know why? We're shallow. We ain't looking at details enough. We ain't paying attention enough. Put a name on some things that God's done for you. These children have a message in their name. Issachar, his name means hired. Amen. And I know he don't owe us anything, but I will say that we have a God that pays pretty good. He takes care of his children. He loves on his children. Even when you've done a sorry job, he pays you and does you exceptionally well. Amen. He pays good. There's another boy. His name is Zebulun. His name means dwelling. I thank God for the dwelling that He's given me since He intervened in my life. I used to be alienated from the things of God. I used to be at enmity with God. But God intervened and changed my life, saved my soul. Now I'm not an enemy. I'm in Him. He placed me in Himself. And guess what? I got one better than that. If you can look at me spiritually this morning and open me up, He's in there. He's in me too. Amen. He's mine and I'm His. It don't get no better than that. Amen. And I ain't talking about 3598 Puitt Park driving Conover either. I'm talking about the spiritual dwelling. Thank God for intervening in my life and giving me a place. Amen. Dinah. There's another child born. And it's a daughter. Her name's Dinah. Her name means judgment and justice. Oh, we could spend forever thanking God for the judgment and the justice that we did not get. But He intervened. Amen. He intervened. He came down from heaven and took my sins upon Himself. Paid the ransom. Paid the debt on the cross before I ever even got here. Amen. Thank God for His intervention of a sovereign love. Can I stop right here and ask you, what storyline are you paying attention to? Your countenance will tell you what storyline you're paying attention to. Are you down and discouraged and depressed? Well, you're looking at shallow love. Are you uplifted and encouraged? You're looking at Him. Amen. He took the judgment. He took that wrath. Isaiah tells us that the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. That's His intervention. Now you come to Joseph. Joseph has two definitions. Joseph means to take away and to add to. Brother Dana started hitting on that this morning. Amen. Ain't you glad when God intervened in your sin-sick soul? He took some things away. He took the guilt. He took the shame. He took the condemnation. Because now there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And you would still have condemnation if He hadn't intervened. Amen. I ain't asking you if you prayed a prayer. I ain't asking you if you signed anything. I ain't asking you if you shook a hand. I'm asking you, has the sovereign God of heaven ever broke in on your life and changed you from that moment on? That's what I'm asking you.
His intervention has taken some things away. His intervention has added some things. Thank God for the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. That's the things that are growing, and you and He's just growing them in you. And if you're saved, they're going to be growing. Amen. I'm talking about peace, joy, love, goodness, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, all that stuff. That if you were living according to the flesh and living based on the storyline of shallow love, you'd be full of envy, you'd be full of strife, you'd be full of anger, you'd be full of lust, you'd be full of backbiting and gossiping. You'd always be trying to get your deal, get your best out of whatever you was dealing with. It's a never-ending story of shallow love. But it's a never-ending story of sovereign love. And I want you to know, and just pay attention, that it's a never-ending story of intervention of never-ending love. I sure am glad in a never-ending story, I got a never-ending God. Amen. Joseph was named as being born here, and he's going to be the one that's going to save his people. He's going to be the one that's going to save the nation. Amen. It's a never-ending love story of our God that has intervened time and time and time again. All you got to do is look at this. It never ends. It never ends. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did Adam and Eve go searching for God, or did God go searching for them? That's a never-ending story of a sovereign God who's intervening Himself in the garden when Adam and Eve's trying to run from Him. Ain't you glad, though, when you sin and mess up, we got a God. Even when you're trying to run from Him, He'll get on your trail. You can't outrun Him. You can't outgo. You can't outdo Him. He'll chase you down. He knows what bush you're behind. He knows where you're hiding. He'll get a hold of you and change your life. Amen. He told Jeremiah, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Your entire day today was a never-ending story. If it was not camp meeting, for the most part, I know how my day would go. You do too. Your days are pretty much made up the same way every day, most of the time. It's a never-ending story. Never-ending, hardly ever changing. But God's also never-ending. God's never changing. God hearkened to Leah and gave her a son in verse 17. But did you notice this? God hearkened unto Rachel and remembered her and gave her a child. Say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the same person that's being shallow with you, God can get a hold of them too. Everything Leah was trying wasn't helping her relationship with Rachel. God's the one that had to help Rachel. God's the one that has to help that person you're praying for. God's the one that's going to have to help you. I talked an awful lot about storylines and main characters. Truth of the matter is, if Brother Rule Fox was here, he'd just say, I'm just a supporting cast. That's all any of us are. Supporting cast. You know what a supporting cast is in a movie? That's people that's put there just to keep the storyline going. That's all we are, folks. That's all we are. There's going to come a time where my time's over. But God is still going to be the main character. And He's going to have somebody else to step in to keep the story going, to keep the line of going. Hey, it wasn't always Adam and Eve. It wasn't always Moses. It wasn't always Joshua. It wasn't always John the Baptist. It wasn't always Peter. It wasn't always Paul. But ain't you glad there's some other people that stepped in and done what God would have them to do? Hey, folks, all I'm asking tonight is pay attention to the never-ending story of God's amazing grace. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of the wicked. He's saying it's better to be a supporting cast in his story than it is to be the main character in mine. Brother Tom Gillum shared this illustration years ago. He said that they heard Brother John Phillips preach years ago. He said Brother John Phillips got his wife's attention when John Phillips made this statement that he liked to read murder mysteries. Brother Tom said his wife sat up on the edge of her seat and was paying attention from there on. Because she likes to read murder mysteries. Brother John Phillips shared this. He said, when I get one, he said, I flip to the end. And I figure out who did it. And then I flip back and I read the story and I keep my eye on that one the whole way through. I'm telling you, folks, it's a never-ending story. Hey, man, don't get your eyes on Leah. Don't get your eyes on Jacob. You're going to have people that you thought you could count on, and they're going to leave you high and dry. But if you'll just look a little bit deeper, a little bit more, you know who you'll find? You'll find a sovereign God standing there, paying attention to you, and making sure your needs is met, even when everybody else runs off and leaves you. Amen. Thank God I got a God that's the main character in my line. Amen. That's the message, brother.